Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
sweet memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. Oft my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
With my friends at the old country church.
Good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we open your word this evening, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to do the speaking for us, Father, so that the words are not mine, but yours. We pray, Father, that he will open our hearts and minds to be receptive, so that we can walk along that pathway of righteousness and upright in your sight. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of this service. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You know, we're in the book of Acts today. And we stopped in verse 32. But because of going through the Bible, I'm going to go back up to 29, start there, so that we can tie this in with what we had this morning. Now, here in verse 29, it says, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him has God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to forgive repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of the things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. Now, we know that a lot of things are going on in this day and time. And we need all of the knowledge of God that we can possibly get a hold of in order to make heaven our home. And one of the main things that I want all to remember is that we don't have to wait until we get to heaven to be in the presence of God. Because you see, we are always in his presence. He is living inside of us. His word tells us that. And he also tells us that once he comes in, when we have fulfilled that plan of salvation, and he comes into our life, he has told us he'll never leave us nor forsake us. But there are ways you can walk that may not cause you to miss making heaven your home, but you'll receive no blessings. Nobody wants that either. So we must continue to grow in faith, to grow in knowledge, and to grow in wisdom of using that knowledge that God gives us, and always to walk in his way according to his will, being where he wants us to be, doing what he wants us to do. Now here, we're going to be picking up in Acts chapter 5, verse 33. It says, when they heard that, we know that this is picking up back from verse 32. They were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. They're after God's men, Peter and John. And I think they was several other apostles with him. But I want to walk according to the word, just as we have many today that's walking the same way. Now, verse 34. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. He's wanting them to leave them alone for a little bit anyway. Because he goes on to say, he's talking now to the chief priests and all of those that are after these apostles. Verse 35, and said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. Think about it now. For before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. He's given them the reason, and a reason actually, to leave these apostles alone. And he's one of their own. As we found out, he's a doctor of the law. Verse 37. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. Well, there is a lot of truth there. When we make things just on our own, that's not right, and it will never really work. Now, but you see, these men are so full of evil that they really never want to just walk away. He had just told them to refrain from them and let them alone. But here in 39, he's telling them, he says, but if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, least happily ye be found even to fight against God. He's giving them a reason even. But let's look at them. Here in 40. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. But you see, they didn't let them go without being beaten and giving them another command not to speak in the name of Jesus. But you and I know that with Peter and John, that's not going to work, because they are going to obey the Lord God. Because you see, to them, they can rejoice by being worthy of that. Here in verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. So we should not today pay any mind or attention in those that will talk against us, because we know it's going to happen. It happened with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's happened with all of his disciples and his apostles. All of his disciples but one died a martyr's death. They died for him. Only one died of age. Now, there in 41, no, 42, sorry. And daily in the temple, in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Done them a lot of good to beat them, didn't it? But you see, what happened in our day and time? We have gotten as bad, and I believe even a little worse than it was in Sodom. And we all know, if we know anything about Scripture, what God did to Sodom. He burned it up, the city. The whole city. He rained fire down on it and burned it up and all that were in it. Now, we not only have the sin of all of this, men with men, women with women, as they did. That was their greatest sin. We also have the abortion of babies, the murder of our unborn babies. We are right now running at about 66 million babies killed. Think about it. Then we wonder why our country and land is in the shape it's in. And then look at the adultery. And it's in, this is all. All in our churches. In a lot of churches. It won't be in God's church. Because God's church won't have it. Just like with my ministry. No, I'm not going to. I'll let them come in to hear God's word. But they're not going to be a part of this ministry. No. Not unless they change. And accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they straighten their lives out. You say, oh, no, you're mean. No, I'm not. I'm telling you what the word says. They claim abortion today is just a woman's choice. No, God has never gave a woman to choose to commit murder. Oh, well, it ain't murder because, you see, it ain't life until it comes into this world and takes a breath of this world. That's not so. You see, if it wasn't life and growing, being alive and growing in the womb, it would never develop to come into this world. But also, we have a couple that the Lord our God filled with the Holy Spirit while they were yet in the womb. That is enough to let you and I know that that other thinking is wrong. That it is life. If it wasn't life, it would never reach this world. It would never have grown to begin with. They're bound to have some idea that that is true. Because God has gave us too many examples out here around us on how things are. You plant a seed in the ground. It starts growing there in the ground. Before it comes through the ground and into the open. If that seed doesn't grow, then it's not going to come through, is it? It had to have that life in it. Just as that child, when it's conceived, God breathed that life there, or it would not grow in and grow up. We are living in a day and time that mankind better get himself right. And I'm talking about right according to the Word of God, not according to man and man's ways and the ways of this world out here. You better start leaving a lot of things of the world alone and looking up and looking to the kingdom of Almighty God. Because unless you enter that kingdom while you're still here on this earth, you're not going to make it your home when you leave out. It's just that way. And the Word lets us know it. And as we go through this Bible, as we started, you're going to see it. Time after time after time, the power of God at work. So you know of his existence, cannot really deny the existence of him, nor of Jesus, nor of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. You see, there is one sin that you can't be forgiven for. Well, Pastor, it says we can be forgiven for all sin. Again, all except one. And it also tells you that. And it tells you which one. But we're going to get into that later. I'm going to let you think about that. And if you get interested enough, maybe you'll go to searching for it. So I'm going to let it lay there for a while. But we're going to be getting and dealing with that subject. Church, wake up. Mankind, wake up. What do you want out of life? Do you want life eternal with the Lord Jesus Christ, or do you want to go to hell in that lake of fire? I've asked many times, if I go out here and build me a great big brush pile, and I tell you, well, now I want you to go out there and get right in the middle of that brush pile, and I'm going to set it afire, you'd think I was crazy, wouldn't you? But you're not living with God is putting your soul in a far more dangerous place and a far more place of pain than you could ever dream of, or dream up, even. Now, we're going to get into 6 here and probably get through chapter 6 this evening. It's dealing now with provision for our widows, what that brought about, and our first deacons of the church. Verse 1. And in those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily administration. Their widows was being neglected. The Grecians began hollering about it. Then the 12 called a multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Because you see, these disciples, all of their time was spent doing the will of the Lord Jesus Christ and with him, learning so that you and I today could have Now, verse 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples to him and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God to serve tables. Verse 3. Word 4. Brethren, look you out among you seven men of honest report of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. They're calling now for these seven men. They were the first deacons of the church. But you see, you don't have to be a pastor to be hated. You don't have to even be a deacon today to be hated. All you have to do is be one that is following the Lord Jesus Christ. And this world hates you. Now, verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. That's why we need these ministries today growing into being something more than one service a week or two or three services a week. It needs to be daily, continually. And that man that has been put over that is his work, that's his job. We're finding that out here, ain't we? Now, verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, Nicanor, and Timon, Parmenas, Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And it's hard today for you to stand and talk to someone because they don't want to hear it. But it don't mean you can sit down and quit. You've got to work harder. Continue doing what God leads you to do. He will give the increase. We don't get it. He will give the increase. Now, this one of the first deacons, Stephen, verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power and great wonders and miracles among the people. This is what he was doing as a deacon. He was walking with great power and great wonders and miracles. What did they think about it? Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and the Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. They couldn't resist. They couldn't win out over that argument. So what did they do? Then they suborned men, which said, we had heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. He hadn't done it, but he was preaching Jesus. You see, we don't live under Mosaic law, and that was one thing they was teaching then also. But that's not against Moses, because Moses was doing what he was supposed to do for his day and his time. He was doing exactly what God called him to do, and it worked. But there was something that was better and more out there for mankind, which was coming. And Moses even spoke about it himself, and that was Jesus. Now, let me find me. Now, they found those men that would speak even lies about him, saying he blessed. They're speaking blasphemous words against Moses, against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses. They knew they were false witnesses, but they set him up because they wanted one thing, which said, this man ceased not to speak blasphemous words against the holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. Jesus never said such things. He said he came to fulfill that law and to make a better way. He didn't speak against it. And even in his life here on this earth, he fulfilled it. He was born of the Jews. He was baptized by John under the law. And it was then that he was filled with the Holy Spirit and started his ministry. But you see, they don't mind setting up false witnesses against you. And they sure don't today. They'll tell lies on you, and they'll lie about you. Anything to get people to keep from listening to you. Now, Jesus did tell them that they would destroy him, but he would rise in 3 days. And he did just that. Now, 15. And all that sat in the council looking steadfastly on him saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Quite a change, isn't it? In a man's appearance. Now, they're looking on him as his face looks like the face of an angel. But we're going on into 7 for a little ways here, because I want to go ahead and bring you up to date hearing the Word of God on Stephen. It continues on from chapter 6, verse 15. Only we start verse 1 in chapter 7. And now, they said there in 15, and all that sat in the council looking steadfastly on him, saw his face had been the face of an angel. Then said the high priest, are these things so? You see, you remember this morning I told you that when all of these letters were recorded, they were letters and they was not written in chapters. It's when they went to putting all of this into translation and making the Holy Bible that it was made into chapters and verses. It was all together. Just like you'd write a letter to someone. Now, verse 2. And he said, men and brethren and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran. Verse 3. And said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and come into the land which I shall show thee. Now, this is the high priest talking. Verse 4. And then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into the land wherein you now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. Now this is a defense of Stephen's. He's letting them know forefathers had taught and been all about what they, some of them had went through. And 6, and God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage and entreat them evil 400 years. That's 400 years of bondage for the Egyptian people, for the Israel people, by Egypt. And we know they were. Because that's who God used Moses to go and bring out. And that's what he's telling them here. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, said God. And after that shall they come forth and serve me in this place. He's letting them know that he'll bring them out of bondage, and then he's going to bring them to a place to where they will serve him. Verse 8, and he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abram begat Isaac and circumcised him the 8th day. And Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him and delivered him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. This Joseph that you're talking about, yes, his brothers. It was his brothers. They were jealous of him. They put him in a pit, and then they sold him into slavery. And when he was taken into Egypt, he was put in jail for something he didn't do, because Pharaoh's wife claimed he had what we would call rape today, her, when he had actually refused to have anything to do with it, and it made her mad. He spent 3 years in jail. But God was with him, and he had interpreted some dreams there while he was in prison. And Pharaoh had had a dream, and he found out, because none of his men could interpret that dream, he wanted it done. And there was one that let him know that Joseph could interpret it. And he called him. Joseph did interpret for him. And he wound up being second in charge of the land of Egypt. Think about it. And God made a great man out of him. Did he have it always easy? No. So we cannot expect everything to be easy. A lot of things will come against us. Now, verse 10 says, and they delivered him out of all his afflictions, and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. He's over all of Egypt now as governor, and even Pharaoh's house. Now there came a drought over the land of Egypt, and came in great afflictions, and our fathers found no substance. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first. And at the second time, Joseph was made known to his brothers, and Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. You see, Joseph's dad had sent his brothers into Egypt because during this drought and all, there was not enough food or nothing. And he had sent them in to see about getting supplies. And yet, the first time they didn't know him. But with their second visit, they did. Now, then sent Joseph and called his father. This was after his brothers and all knew him, and he had met with them. Now he has sent for his father, Jacob, to him, and all his kindred, 75 souls. That's 75 souls. That he's bringing in. That was all part of his family. So Jacob went down into Egypt and died. He and our fathers died there in Egypt. And were carried over into Shechem and laid in the sepulcher that Abraham bought for a sum of money of the sons of Emor, the father of Shechem. When the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose, which knew not Joseph. Now there's another king. Because the one, the Pharaoh that died, made him what he was, Now he's got another king that didn't know him. And the same dealt subtlety with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end that they might not live. He's turned against Stephen's whole family now. This new. In which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair, nourished up in his father's house 3 months. When he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. Moses was being raised by Pharaoh's daughter now. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. They were making a good Egyptian out of him. But you see, God has his ways in working with all of us. And those that he knows that will stand where he sends them and where he puts them, he will make a way for them to get there. Now, and when he was fully 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brother, the children of Israel. Now, he found out that he was actually not Egyptian. He was of Israel. Now, he wants to go and visit with him. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, one being mistreated and beaten and all, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. Moses himself killed this Egyptian to save this Israelite. Now, in verse 25, it says, for he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And we know today, even when things grow stronger here, gave him a hard way to go. And the next day he showed himself unto them, as they strove and would have set them at one again, saying, sirs, you have brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? They're arguing among themselves now. God's wanting to bring them out of bondage. And he's asking them why they want to wrong each other and argue among themselves. 27, but he that did his neighbor wrong, thrust him away, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? And I'm going to stop here for the day. They're asking him there, who made you a ruler over us? Because he was trying to bring peace among them. But they're about to find out. And we'll be getting into that in our next reading of Acts. But you all know we're going through the Bible and how the Lord has had me set it up, because we'll be going back tomorrow, Monday. We're going to be going back in to the Old Testament for Monday and Tuesday. Wednesday, again, we'll be reading from the book of Revelations. Thursday and Friday, we'll be back into the four Gospels, and then we'll be back into Acts. Now also, we're going to be moving quicker than what everyone thinks, because we're going to be adding morning services also. There'll be a morning service, an hour service, a Bible study at 10 a.m. You see, God's making a worker out of me. It's His way and His will. That's the way to be. So all that can be and really wants to continue learning the Holy Scripture, be with us. Spend as much time with us as you can to learn. Because there is a lot in each one of these parts for each one of us to help build a strong faith and to give you and I the knowledge of why God has worked like He has worked since the day of creation up to this time. I want you to really think about these things. Keep me in your prayers, just as I'm keeping all in my prayers, and especially our churches, that all of our churches will get back into the true church, that church of Almighty God, the one Jesus set up on the day of Pentecost, when He sent the Holy Spirit back to be with us. And to teach the Word of God in boldness. Not taking, breaking it down and taking a verse here and a verse there and one over here. And then break them all down to make them say what we want them to say. But let's keep them in contact and them say what God has said. That's the way it'll work. And that's the only way it will work to get you into heaven. All right, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And Father, we all need that anointing of the Holy Spirit to hold us according to your will and your way, to help us build strong faith so that we can do things you would want us to do. Because, Father, without the Holy Spirit, this flesh is weak, and it would pull us away. But the Holy Spirit that has brought your power to us keeps us strong, keeps us your children, and gives us what we need in order to be what you want us to be, and gives us the power and the authority to do as we are called upon to do. Whether it be the healing of sickness, the lame, the blind, the deaf, we know that we are to spread the word, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to help to bring people out of darkness into the light. That light being Jesus, so that you can give the increase and bring them home. Now, Father, use us in great and mighty ways. Help us to build this work, Father, and to build it the way you want it. Now, Father, work within our families so that none of our families are lost. Work with those that are sick in our families, Father. Let them know that that healing power has already been given. They just have to accept it by faith. Stand upon it. And be your child and things will work. Father, as we get off tonight and as we go our separate ways, this all together in each other's mind. Make us as one, Father. Use this ministry, Father, greatly, mightily, not to lift us up, to make big people out of us before man's eyes, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, making him everything in our lives, giving us life eternal. Father, bring us back together. Come morning at 10 a.m. Eastern time. We ask all of this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good night, all.